A listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy for 2021, Ham.
Ahoy, my friend.
Ahoy to you, Jacko.
Ahoy, guys.
That's gusto. I guess the government-mandated three-month break has its merit at times. But boy,
yeah.
would we have loved to have been back earlier than this.
Oh, look, I don't want to bore everyone with the appeals we lodged, the money wasted, the show money wasted on lawyers and, petitions. And even just some plain old line down at the front. Jack was on a peanut butter strike. I seen a lot of hunger strike, but obviously he's still bulking, so he's not going to go on a complete hunger strike.
Yeah.
But Jacko, no peanut butter, what was it, for 2 weeks to protest?
Yes, that's right. It was terrible, really hard to get those extra calories in at the end of the day.
Yep.
And who was the peanut butter strike brought to you by?
Mavis are my peanut butter friends, if they still listen to the show.
It starts again.
See how hesitant Jack was? So that obviously tells us that he doesn't have a current deal, but he is open to reigniting the channels.
Well, I thought when their first care package came, I thought it might have been an ongoing thing. It was just one care package, and I thought they probably got an over-delivery of
it. It was a no-care package.
We weren't going to start with this, but I have to start with something, because it feels like the search for free things that Jack,
intensified.
That Jack just loves so much must run in the radio family that he's in. Because as you know, my brother-in-law and sister own a roof rack store.
Sure. And don't tell me Jack was calling up for a freebie.
No, Paul got an email. Do you know, is it a Francis Blake or Blake Francis?
Oh, Blake Francis, I know.
Yeah,
you guys know him too. He worked at the station.
Yeah, he worked at the station. 9 to 5. Weekdays. Seeing him around those hours.
Anyway, he emailed Paul at the roof rack store wanting some free racks for promotion they're doing for the Gold 104 breakfast show.
We aren't doing anything to do with roof racks.
Okay.
Well, are you sure it's not one of the guys from the breakfast show? Not the guy whose show it is, not Christian, but the other guy from the show. Sure it's not him driving around trying to fill up the roof of his car with Mavis peanut butter? Nuts for the nut butter?
Inquiring about a Kia Cerato 2013 5-door hatch.
So he wants a free rack.
He wants some free racks. No, offered contra. So you might be having to do, Jack.
Yeah,
so
you might be having to say thanks to Roof Carrier Systems.
The hunter becomes the hunted.
You might have to be saying thanks to RCS for the sweet racks.
Who's here is it?
Well, they're saying that they're...
Not someone on air. It's a 2013.
But what I like is Paul knew that it was obviously coming from Gold 104, which is Jack's station he cheats on us with. His actual job. This is a hobby, apparently. But Paul wrote back, happy to help out. Would need to know whether it's a 2013 or up to 2013 because they changed that year, need a fitting kit. So very professional. We said, but by the way, Jack Post is my absolute favourite radio personality. He's so talented, funny and handsome, !! Say hi to him. And so did that message get passed on by Blake?
I have not had that message passed on, nor do I know of any Kia or any promotion we're doing with roof racks or anything even to do with driving.
So then...
Having said that, the door still remains open for Mavis to reignite the ongoing relationship.
But Blake, can I just say, he's that kind of guy who... like always turns up at the tennis and you just assume that he's getting some kind of free tickets. I think he, if I may say, is more of a weasel than me.
Of course he may.
The show with
what is the podcast for if it's not some sort of weasel court?
Well,
way to throw him under the 2013 Kia Sorento, Jack.
And we've got a new segment, Point Out a Weasel. See a weasel.
Weasel hunt.
Now we can open the show to him if we want to point out a further, even more weaselly person than him.
Do we get to the bottom of the burrow? Do we find the lowest weasel?
Anyway, he did write back saying, I'll pass on the message to Jack.
Hey.
He would love to have a fan. So let's give it a few days to see whether
he would love to have a fan.
That's what he wrote. What a weasel. What a weasel, Blakers. Hey, do we set up similar to how, remember last year we had Mike, Ready Mike, battle the guy, Pokemon facts. Mm. We had the Pokemon
yes.
battle.
Yes.
Do we just do a bit of weasel fighting on the show and we get Blake on versus Jack yes. to really out each other on the most weaselly behaviour?
Would Blake know the extent of Jack's weasel behaviour?
So we give him a week, or we give him a week or two to amass a dossier.
That's the hard thing is that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel okay.
I like it. There's an area there. TBC.
Oh, mate, happy. I mean, since we're starting the show in a traditional manner,
yeah.
let's start something that we never follow up on. That's one of the key tenets of the show.
Yeah.
Let's set something up for a Peter out.
Yep.
Which is one of the things we do well.
Speaking of non-sponsored, yep. we are all in white T-shirts.
Yeah, we're blank canvases blank today. Canvas. The tracksuits, 2 years of service, I think, from those velvet tracksuits. We thought it might be time for a change.
Mm.
We are, yeah, we're fresh, aren't we? We look like we've just been recruited to the Navy.
Yep.
Just short white T-shirts. Your tracksuit could sit here. We probably won't reference it by name too often. We save that for roof carrier stores and peanut butter brands we have no commercial association with.
But if you've got a tracksuit you think you'd like to, it's in competition though. You can tender it to us
yep.
and we might consider it to be the show tracksuit for 2021.
And really the biggest thrill you'll see is it just uses pop up on the video. And look, full marks to Feeler, it was the last tracksuits. Mm-hmm. We kind of pretended we were going to do it every couple of weeks and then we just
got used to them,
and that was two years of cash-free sponsorship for Villa.
Anything else to cover off on?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, it's obviously great to be back. Mm. Appreciate everyone from hanging through the government mandated break. As we've mentioned, we were absolutely furious. We were muzzled a little bit by the government. I wrote a very, very strong letter to the editor that was meant to be published in The Age, and I think some powers that be stepped in and got that kiboshed. But we were furious over the break.
I planned a protest and then lockdown came in, so I couldn't do the protest.
Right. I know we've been talking about Keyes a little bit, but I was thinking since it's episode 121, we could get Mazda to look. Maybe I contacted Mazda and I asked them if they would like to sponsor this episode because of the famous 121 Jelly Bean bubble car.
Yeah, from and, years and years ago.
They had a few reasons why they weren't interested. Like
they've moved on from
that. They don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
So another missed opportunity on the sponsors front.
I did
want to do a gusto check.
Yep.
Like an actual gusto check.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling, Andy?
Very good. Very good.
That doesn't sound gusto-y.
Oh, well, I think we proved that gusto's up.
How are you feeling, Jack?
I feel good.
It was, do you know what actually, and that was the test. Fake gusto was what I was trying to sniff out.
I shouldn't have gone for it. I
found some fake gusto.
Yeah.
Well done, Ando. You played your natural game. And that's part of gusto is playing your natural game. And why would anyone put on gusto if they weren't confident with their gusto?
It's true.
I feel good. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I do feel good. In my normal tone,
thankfully,
I do feel good.
You're responsible for 3% of the show. So if
alarm bells ringing
if you
early.
If you have a gusto lapse, hopefully we can still sail through. A couple of things, Ham, quickly I want to cover
off. Yeah, go for it.
We talked about the big five fruits. A lot of people over the break were working it out. What were the big five fruits as it came? Seamus Aldridge, ahoy to you, great email. He went to galleries as well as online to find out whenever fruit bowls have been painted and picked out the 30 most popular
still life
fruit portraits.
Tell you what, I'll tell you who I predict is going to get a look in that we wouldn't have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Grapes.
Yep.
Grapes? Well, here we go. He put it all in a spreadsheet, right?
Grapes seem to be in still life paintings more than you would expect grapes to be in a fruit bowl. Sorry, play on.
According to him, out of the 30 portraits, apples were in 97% of them.
Wow.
Oranges, 77. And grapes in 60% of them. Pear at 57 and banana at 50. Rounding out the rest were mangoes and strawberries. But
mango surprises me to be in there. It's a great idea, Jack. I'm sure you'd agree. I love the theory behind this. Mm. Does it skew unluckily towards what's a good Mediterranean fruit? Because a lot of the painters were from Europe.
Yep.
Or modern fruits. Does it discourage modern fruits from being in because you don't see so many still lifes of fruit anymore.
What's a modern fruit? When did a fruit get invented?
as modern taste.
Like a chrome strawberry.
As people's palates change over time, what we like in modern life, they're not
new
fruits.
When was the mango invented?
They're the same fruits. Just
can't wait for the new model to come out.
Yeah, it's a 2030. You can't put a rack on a 2013 strawberry. They changed the shape. Okay, I got one last one. I got one last one that I think will amuse you guys. Obviously, a big market I got heavily into last year was copper. Got the copper sphere. Yes. People were keen to tell me. Obviously, Bitcoin and GameStop shares were probably the two big movers over the summer in terms of making riches. Copper as a market did not have the sort of flurry of activity that we saw in GameStop shares or Bitcoin over the summer. It moved in the right direction. It did move well. But I had I had a run-in with copper because I am still sitting on my mesmerizing copper ball, copper sphere, loving it. Absolutely. Yeah. Still mesmerized like I was from day one. But I'm in a new house at the moment and I was talking to a trader because I'm doing the garage, right? I just want to put like a bench and some shelves in the garage.
Right.
Had a tradie over, Pat, and he's talking, he's a pretty blokey bloke. Mm. Like he's got a real Scott Cam vibe about him. And you know, in the face of a builder like that, it's like I'm on Thank God You're Here, just trying to trying to match him one to one without addressing the elephant in the room, which is, well, if you're so good with the tools, mate, why am I doing your garage? So trying to talk to him, and we were talking about what surface the bench would be.
Yes.
And he mentioned copper beading, right? Oh, on the bench. And so I was like, I said, okay, interesting. Mm. He said, because, you know, your bench sort of meant, and I was like, geez, I haven't heard of copper beading before. It must be like very, very small balls of copper. Maybe it makes it tougher. Mm. Must be a tradie thing. Mm. And I don't know why I said this, because he's obviously not a podcast listener. So I go, well, I actually have a mesmerizing sphere.
Copper sphere that I got on Instagram.
I actually have a mesmerizing copper sphere. Yeah. Now, I have a friend that has one too. He doesn't really like his, because I'm thinking of your copper sphere.
Yeah.
See, I don't know why, I mean, just for my own amusement, right, hoping that he might say yes to this and we could talk about it on the show. Okay, could we, like, smelt it down and use the copper for the beads? He goes, what do you mean? I said, I don't know how big the beads are, the copper beads for the bench top, right? I don't know if you've seen where this is going or not. He goes, no, I said it'll copper beating. Like, you want something that'll copper beating.
Oh, no.
Okay. Right. Sorry, I thought you said you want something with copper beading. I'm just pretending. Straight away I went, yeah, of course you want copper beading. I mean, you wouldn't just put raw wood there. You'd obviously bead it with copper. So now, to save face, I am getting something with copper beading.
Hey, first special skill to kick off 2021. For people who don't know, go to hamishnetty.com. You can correspond with us there, but also fill out a very important podcaster form, which you can list your special skill. Ham?
We have a bit of a soft spot, don't we, Ando, for people dobbing in someone.
Yeah.
And the reason we have a soft spot for it is it usually means the skill is terrific because the public has noticed. It's one thing for Wolverine to turn up to the X-Men headquarters and say, look at this, with his, with his spikes.
Spikes, yeah.
It's another thing altogether to have someone write into Dr. Xavier and go, I have noticed this guy in the neighbourhood. it just carries a bit more weight.
Yeah.
And you just see more of a humble superhero if you're not dobbing yourself in.
I agree.
I'm not saying it always has to be that way, but it's certainly what got our attention for today's the dobber
Iron
era.
Iron Man's more of a look at me, look what I've done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he has press conferences.
Yes.
But wouldn't it be more impressive if the Hulk rang someone and said, I saw a guy flying around fighting.
But they both work, is the point, I suppose.
And now we will watch the next Marvel movie probably with a keener eye to go, is this more of a a self-nominator or a public nominator? Isaac contacted us and said, hey, listen, my dad's got this skill.
Mm.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Mm.
It's power tools based. Isaac joins us now. Isaac, how are you, mate? Ahoy.
Ahoy, Hamish. Ahoy, Andy.
Ahoy,
and Jack.
Ahoy, Isaac. Tell us the skill, mate.
Dad is able to determine a power tool just by listening to it from a couple of meters away on a job site.
So could he do it down the phone?
I believe he could do it over the phone. Yeah, if, you know, the audio is great and we've got no technical difficulties on Jackson.
We can good promise A, we can cautiously hope for B.
Awesome.
Your dad's name?
My dad's name's Fernando, or Ferns.
Fernando is great. You'll find out why in a second.
We were pleased to hear of his name being Fernando.
Okay. Ahoy to you, Fernando.
Ahoy to you, Fernando.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Mate, you can hear us clearly, can you? That's very important.
100%.
Wonderful. Well,
it sounds good.
Haim, you've gone out. Any excuse to buy tools?
Oh, as I said, Ando, look, I know this. I've bought this with the company money, the joint Hamish and Andy money, but I tried to hire them. I care deeply about the bottom line finances. Just the quality wasn't up to scratch, Ando, for the higher places.
He's bought himself tools that he wants. We're not going to say what tools they are.
I don't know, Fernando, if you need them to be a certain brand, but I hope Makita is. I'm not just saying Makita, because I hope they send us some random selection of tools. Mm. I would obviously prefer a specific selection of what I do and don't want.
There's going to be three different tools. Does Fernando need to get 3 out of 3, Ham, to get himself a coin?
I think you do, Fernando. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I think 2 would be sensational.
Look,
maybe one.
I don't know why we asked the competitor to set the rules. I think 2 would actually be sensational, because I've been having a little go in here and I would think that a lot of power tool companies are putting a similar engine in the tools. Well, it is a bit of a tricky thing to hear.
The reason why I think it should be 2 out of 3 is because I've seen the tools, Fernando. They are all battery pack tools I know they're
compatible with the rest of my range.
Compatible with his range, which I know isn't probably true of the worksite entirely. They're probably...
Oh, you use a lot of battery these days.
But some of the tools you've got, I wouldn't say at the commercial level.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. So you know the range we're talking about here, the very reliable and durable handheld Makita range. It all runs off the same battery, of which I now have lots, which is good news.
But Fernando, if you're ready, we're going to jump into this. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tell us, is it a circular saw or wood router, Fernando? Could it be a hammer drill? What do you feel, Fernando?
Okay, that wasn't one. That was a sound effect from our...
Yes, we don't know if that was a hammer drill.
Yes.
What do you think that sound effect there was at the end?
Hey, great song. I loved it.
Appreciate that, Fernando.
You know it's not an original though, don't you? okay, Ham, let's get the first tool up. What's he going to go with? Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. Ham has got the tool now.
Are you ready, Fernando?
Sure.
Here we go.
That sounds like a blower.
He's got it, hasn't he? And look, maybe too generous of me to waft a little bit onto the mic. Maybe that was too generous.
No, I actually have a Makita blower. And
saying Makita?
you do it there, mate.
I'll say it backwards. Adicum.
Okay.
Is it the Dub 185 you've got? Because I like the rubbery nozzle.
Okay. That was easy. I feel like the hints were there. Haim, we said he's only going to do 2 out of 3.
Yeah, okay.
So no hints.
No, you're right.
I feel like we're getting a real softball to begin the show, and I don't like softballs.
No. Maybe, okay.
Here comes the next one. Good luck, Fernando. Give it a bit longer, Haim.
Yeah. One more time.
That sounds like an impact driver. Now, hang on. Or it could have been a reciprocating saw. I'll go with my first one.
It is not.
It's an electric chainsaw.
Oh, I haven't got one of them.
Yes, well, but the game is not what tools does Fernando have.
But this does create a bit of excitement heading into the final tool. Haim, well done. I think you're a bit nervous because the chain looked a bit loose on that.
Yep, the chain was a bit loose. And for those familiar with that classic bottle green that the Makita tools come in, little pieces of green plastic were flying off everywhere. So...
That's not good.
Yeah, I know. Not 100% the chains on that properly. They might need a little replace-o from the good people at Makita and perhaps send out one of your authorized representatives to pop the chain.
just tighten the chain.
Yeah, well, we put it together in a bit of a hurry. We'll have a little look at that.
Okay, all or nothing here, Fernando.
Good luck, Fernando.
This is the final tool. Go ahead.
That's a Makita grinder.
It's a Makita grinder! He's got it! I thought that was going to be tough because you know it's in the circular motion category, but there's a lot of tools that have that circular motion.
What gave it to, well, I thought it's you know, obviously a circular saw. Obviously it slowed down, which obviously helped you, but why did you were so confident it was the grinder?
I own three of them.
He knows what he's doing, Ando. He really knows what he's doing. And what pad did I have on it?
It might have been a cutting disc.
Yeah, it was. Copper beaded.
Fernando, congratulations. Isaac, you've got yourself a coin, and it's nice to kick off 2021 with a victory. Thanks very much, guys. Yeah.
Message message for your dad, Isaac.
Yeah, that was actually really, really impressive. I'm so shocked. I had no idea. They all sounded the same. And, like, to anybody that's doing these challenges over the phone, the audio was hard. I could not, like, defer any of them. I had no idea.
Some beautiful words there for his supportive son.
A real
doubling
smack.
Down, doubling down on how proud he is of his dad.
And how bad the audio is coming from our studio. Thank you, Isaac. Haim, as the show starts back up after our three-month government-mandated break.
Great to be unmuzzled.
Yes, there's a few little things we've got to, obviously, business to take care of. Mm. One email that came in more than anything else was, when are you going to release the Power Moves book again? For those who don't know, or you might be new to the show, welcome.
But, go back to the start, but before you do hear this.
We bought out a Power Moves book. It's a collection of all the Power Moves that people had sent in, or then you and I had included our own as well.
Top 100.
There are essentially things that you can do in social situations that give you the upper hand in life.
And it was a hot ticket for Christmas, this book, wasn't it, Ando? Well, it was launched in August, but it became a hot promise to get them out by Christmas.
It sold out, and people have been wondering, when are we going to re-release it? There's a Dishonourable Second Run coming out.
We did confirm that the Dishonourable Second Edition will come out where you can have the glory of owning the Power Moves book, like thousands of others, and having it on your coffee table. But sadly, we cannot give you the honour of being one of the early movers. You must suffer the dishonour of having the Dishonourable Second Run stamp on the front of the cover of the book. Now, that's just to be fair to the people that move fast enough to get one of the early copies. However,
we were contemplating a dollar.
dollar price increase?
Yeah. For shame.
Yep. Well, I'm not against it, Ando. But I'll tell you what I would be, I do not want to happen. I'm scared of this, just from a logistics point of view. I hope that the Dishonourable Second Edition doesn't suddenly become more collectible than the first, creating some sort of artificial run on the books. That would be a worry for our, I'm just thinking about our warehouse staff here. Yes.
Well, we've got the man in charge of it all. Hogs joins us now. Hogs, ahoy to you, mate.
How are you, boys?
First up,
hello,
that's that Howdy. Question. When is the Dishonourable Second Run going to be available for people in Australia and around the world?
I reckon June.
Well, you said this. You've June.
Oh, I've got to be June.
Well, what's going on?
What is there, a shortage of the thick paper again?
Are you just giving yourself more leeway because it was
You know,
panic?
It's exactly the same book with like three new words on the front cover.
Well, it's holiday time in China.
Well, they're taking half a year off.
Chinese New Year, it's one day.
Jeez, I mean, for a company that produces so much stuff, I can't believe they're having a six-month holiday. I mean, if it was a three-month government-mandated break, I would understand that that can happen and you can't do anything about that.
Well, Chinese New Year finished last month, Hawks. Obviously, we're in March now. You think June, why can't it get here as quick as June?
Well, it takes 3 months to... You know, we've got to get in line. They're big printers, remember?
Is there a queue?
Well, they're such big printers and expensive printers. It's not just no worries, mate. We'll whack it on today.
So they like. So what? It takes like 3 months to be sure that we're really doing this for real.
Well, it takes a long time. You got to print all the paper, and then this is a 200-page book, right? Yeah. And then you got to bind it all together.
But I assume there's machines for this.
Not a singular person doing
think
all
of it. I'm thinking of a montage. Should be over in about 10 seconds.
No, it's all individual. Then the actual cover, you print the piece of paper, and then they actually glue the paper over a board, then bind it all together. It's all enormous amount of hand.
Don't give it all away, Hawks, just in case bootleggers are listening to this and they figure out how to make a book themselves.
And you got the spot UV and the matte laminate.
And it is a matte laminate. Yeah. I understand the time taken on the cover, obviously. I'm surprised that's anything under a two-year process. Hawks, but I think for the rest of it, we're imagining some sort of book machine that prints them off.
Okay, so June. We'll not going to open it up for people to buy it yet because we had that problem last time where people pre-orders and then they just got angry.
Because we made it so clear. We were like, look, pre-order it now if you want one. It will not come till Christmas.
Yeah.
I felt like we said that very, very clearly. But then you read the emails, it just didn't seem like that message got across. So
it's not open for business at the moment.
It really felt like we took people's money at a bookstore and said, hang on a sec, I'll go get one from out the back. Went out the back, drove around Australia at a leisurely pace, enjoyed a holiday. Holiday here this year. Enjoyed a holiday, came back 4 months later, went, here's your book.
Okay, Hawks.
So can we promise June?
Well, you're the one promising.
Guarantee July.
Oh my God!
No, but it's not. We don't need to. We don't need to promise anything or guarantee anything.
Don't you think that sends the message when you completely honestly go, "I'm promising you this, but I'm guaranteeing you that"? Doesn't just clearly tip our hand a bit that we're trying to dupe people?
We'll come back to it, Hawks. We'll come back to it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Second question: did you feel that the initial run was a success?
Huge success. It was a big job.
Yep.
Now, it was a lot of addresses going out. I didn't calculate that.
We weren't thinking it was a 20,000 person share house that all wanted their own copy.
So,
did you anticipate? You surely didn't anticipate the same address.
Did you hear of many complaints, Hulk?
A few people complained, but that's a very little amount. I mean, if we sent out 30,000, we got 300 complaints. I mean, that's...
Did you start up a hotline, a complaints line? Did you consider doing that?
Well, I had to call a few people because, I mean, people were sending through, putting their address down. There was one person who put an address down, you know, four Smith Street, Adelaide, the state WA.
okay.
And he's had his mobile number. I called him. I said, mate, you're going to have to help me here. Like, where do you live? Yep. He said, oh, sorry. I used to live in WA, but now I live in Adelaide.
Just got used to.
I completely stuffed it up. All right. Okay.
Okay.
We were hoping to sharpen you up ahead of the dishonorable second run. Sharpen you up a little bit on the customer-facing side of things. Is that a fair thing to say, Andy?
Absolutely. We've got someone standing by that's got a complaint ready to go. Hawks, if you wouldn't mind saying Power Moves Complaint Hotline, you're speaking to Hawks. As soon as you say that, they can pick up the conversation. So off you go.
Hawks' hotline about Power Moves.
Carrie, you're on Hawks' hotline.
I'm thinking finally I get to speak to someone in customer service.
Here we go.
We've had a young 12-year-old boy who's been waiting for his birthday present since late last year.
Oh boy.
But to be fair, we just got the book last Friday.
Wow.
Lucky here.
So you've got it.
We finally got it after much to-ing and fro-ing with Australia Post because...
it seems to have been
common villain.
Whose fault do you reckon? No, Hawks? It was Hawks' fault, do you reckon? It was Australia Post's fault? Or was it your? Was it customer error with the mailing address?
I'm pretty sure that my address was correct.
Mm. Yep.
I knew the day I'd pre-ordered it because yep. I'd patted myself on the back. For getting in early.
Yep.
Yeah. Australia Post were very, very good because I could contact them and they'd respond immediately.
Mm-hmm.
However, they kept referring me with my complaint number to Hamish and Andy customer service.
All right, we don't have that. I don't know what.
Quite an empty desk there. Yeah.
In a dungeon
somewhere, just with a dead rat next to a phone.
What number? I mean, who are they referring it to? What are they saying?
They were brilliant because they told me where it had been delivered. They told
our customer
me
who service
it,
was.
They told me who had signed for it, and I think it was an A. Mary on the 14th of December.
Right.
Yep. In Chuganinia.
Yep.
So
that's our customer service hub.
We went from there. And then I think they got a little bit sick of me going, but no one's answering my queries on the contact page.
Yep.
So then they referred me to the contact page. They actually looked it up themselves and sent me to the page I'd already sent 3 or 4 messages to.
Yeah, yeah. So what's happened here is you've just gone to our website, which doesn't really do complaints, do we, as a rule, Ham?
Compliments, yeah.
Yeah, we do compliments.
Compliments and others.
We do. We very much have a closed-door policy too.
It's pretty tightly closed too. The chairs resting against the handle on the other side of the door.
So that's what you would have been up against.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's finally resolved.
Push and push and push against that door, but it will not budge. But the most important thing is your beautiful son got his birthday present a mere few months after his birthday. And if there's one thing, having been 12-year-old boys ourselves, you remember back to that time in your life, you're not too fussed about when you get your present. You're just happy it comes sometime in the next calendar year. Hip, hip, hooray, we say to that young man. And a feel-good ending for everyone.
Exactly right. You've got to look on the bright side of life.
That's the only side. Thanks, Kiara. Ando, mm-hmm. We keep saying we're back. Yep. It just feels good to have the muzzle off. You know, it feels good to not have the government getting its way, squashing us down, making us take the 3 months off. On one hand, we appreciate it. Sure, we do appreciate it. We understand why the government makes us do it.
I played a lot of golf, which was one upside, but of course I would have wanted to be back at work.
Yeah, giving the mouth more of a workout than, of course, the
legs and arms.
You know, the legs and arms as you whack and kick your caddy for handing you the wrong club, or perhaps snipping the end of the cigar off, or popping the champagne cork incorrectly. You know, maybe during someone's backswing. I know you're not allowed to pop a champagne during a backswing. It's considered poor etiquette.
You know, under Rule 13.5.
So your arms and legs got a real workout from caddy assaults. Mm. But again, your vocal cords.
Yep.
Whilst you would have been doing a lot of yelling at him or her privately, once you go back to the mahogany line club room, you would have much preferred to be using your vocal cords for the fun that we have on the show.
Exactly, but not allowed to.
But we're back.
There we are.
It's funny when the government makes you take a 3-month break, you sort of, you know, we finish the show in December and then it starts up again in March. Mm. And a lot of stuff you just are hoping, you know, a lot of things that happen over that time.
Yep.
And one of the exciting things that was coming to fruition at the end of last year was, of course, the news. And I hope I'm not jumping ahead of an announcement here, but I assume congratulations are in order because you did flag with the team that you're about to get a tall terrier, the world's tallest terrier. You're about to get a dog, the world's tallest terrier.
Yes. And it's not the world's tallest.
It it was the tallest terrier available.
It's a taller terrier.
No, Jack, didn't Handy say it was the tallest terrier available?
My mental image of the dog is very tall.
Yeah.
And incredibly tall, like a llama.
No, it's a Welsh terrier taller
than
an Airedale would probably have it for leg length.
Yes, but, okay. But, yeah. My recollection was you were getting the world's tallest terrier.
Yes, okay.
Which
that's what you grasped onto and repeated.
Well, I've had quite a lot of people over the break go, you know, first of all, commiserations on having to take the break and a bit of government grumbling.
Yep.
And then going, have you seen Andy's tall terrier yet? Mm. And I sort of say, look, no, I haven't. I suspect it is in the house, but he's probably waiting to debut it next year. And I don't want to steal the reveal for when we get to see the tall terrier.
Yeah.
But first of all, how is it?
It doesn't exist quite yet. Right. It was a busy time for tall terriers.
And a hot season.
Yeah, hot season. COVID meant a lot of people ran out of dogs and we were looking... Quite seriously.
Just make him sound like the people using him as face masks.
No, it was toilet paper and dogs. They ran into supermarkets. And we looked through for rescues for this type of dog that we want, but right. There aren't any at this stage in shelters either. So
you're doing the shelter thing, but you... Have you want the tall terrier from it?
We would love a specific type of dog.
That's not quite the shelter mentality, is it?
No.
Calling the op shop, going, "Have you got any Chanel bags?"
And I'm very interested to get one from the op shop.
Interested in, of course, doing the right thing and supporting the community.
Yes.
But it does need to be this bag in this colour.
pretty much.
Okay, well then, slight spanner in the works because I have made you something to welcome the arrival of the tall terrier.
Oh, geez.
I just assumed we'd have a tall terrier on our hands.
Yep.
I made you a mixtape with tall terrier songs.
Oh, no.
So we may as well do it anyway.
Yeah.
Assumed the tall terrier would be with us. So this is going
to And then I can play it to Beck.
Yeah.
When we eventually get the tall terrier, because I know she doesn't listen to this anymore, our podcast anymore, because of the way she's treated essentially.
Absolutely. Well, Zoe has told me she was too busy from day one. So,
yeah.
Well, okay, it was more of an ad for the mixtape, but I guess just pretend you've got it.
Okay.
Congratulations, Andy, on your purchase of the world's tallest terrier. You and that lofty pooch are going to take adventure to new heights. Unintended. Seriously, I know how much you like my singing, so I've made this mixtape so you can get down and shake your derriere with your tall terrier. We start off the songs with a little bit of Kanye. Can the dog get higher? Oh no, it's the tallest terrier. Next, some powerful analogies. Your dog's like a bird, his head is very high. Floating up the ground, way up in the sky, like a bird's head. Then the songs get really, really good. Kazaylee, people gonna think it's crazy. When giraffes seem small, 'cause your dog's so tall. And as sure as you can bet, I'm looking at you right now, very proud of those lyrics. You can bet the celebration of my genius will be short-lived when you hear the next tall terrier track. Where is that dog's head? Up, up, up there. Where is that dog's head? Up, up, up there. Wow. Man, even your 10th favourite band, Imagine Dragons from Las Vegas, gets the tall terrier treatment. You're a young man with a tall dog, like my friend Steve with his long frog. Except you're not young, you got grubby lungs. All those cool tracks plus more redone by me to celebrate the arrival of your very, very tall terrier. Please enjoy, mate, but hurry, mixtape on sale now and selling fast.
Sorry, due to specificity of product and small customer pool, no best friend discounts.
Sorry, I made you one, but it's for sale.
I hope you didn't do any of that work during our 3-month government mandated.
Can I just shock you?
Yeah,
I did most of it just before we started the show today. I know it seems crazy.
I thought as much.
With some of those killer lyrics.
I thought as much.
No, it took me months to think of the long frog bit.
Hey, listeners of this podcast would be well aware that we've had Bitcoin catastrophes dating back, 4 years now?
Many, many, many years.
Oh, longer than longer that.
Much longer than that. Almost 10 years, I think.
10 years.
Well, I purchased our initial two.
Yes.
Bought the news to the team. I mean, I have to go and dig back through, but I reckon it was early 2010s. I think 2012, 11.
Yeah, I was going to say 13 or 14.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Because
so nearly 10
Bitcoin was about $900.
Yeah.
The laughter, the peals of laughter from you two, the other side of the desk. What have you done? You've wasted $1,800.
Yeah.
Bitcoin plummeted to $300.
Yeah. We laughed
and
it then.
Laughed and laughed and laughed. What have you done? Our investment's thirded. Then, as we all know, as everyone knows, the boom times came. Mm. Now, where Bitcoin stands, it's sort of been hovering around the 60,000 Aussie dollar mark over the summer. Now,
so
we know
we still have ours locked.
Still have two missing.
Two missing.
But we don't really. And here's the thing: everyone's going, "Oh, mate, you must be filthy." You know, 120 grand's worth of Bitcoin. Mm. It's lost. We hypnotized Jez. We couldn't get it out of his head.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where the passcode is. But I actually prefer this story that we've got it out there somewhere because let's not forget, we only found out that we couldn't find the password when we went to try and sell it when it was at $1,500 because we wanted to buy the convertible to drive it through the car wash. So we would actually be sitting here now as the guys that cashed out to drive a Ford Capri through a car wash instead of sitting on 120 grand.
Was it a Capri or a Saab?
I think we got a Saab in the end. We were hunting for a Capri and they're actually collector's items. So
you're right.
I kind of am happy that we didn't.
And we might find the passcode one day. Then we went through a whole other problem with Jack and him buying Bitcoin for myself and for him, and he can't find the password. That's why when this story came up on our 3-month government mandated break, so many people were direct messaging us and emailing us. Stefan Thomas, we'll let him tell the story. He's a programmer, a German programmer living in San Francisco, and he joins us now. Ahoy to you, Stefan.
Hey, how are you doing?
We are great, mate. Thank you for joining us, taking time out of your day to talk about something I'm sure that you are getting sick of talking about, but to us, you are a bit of a spirit animal because you, like us, have some Bitcoin locked away. Yours is a little bit more serious, though. You have 7,002 Bitcoin locked away.
How much is that worth at the moment, Stefan?
It's about $350 million.
Holy dooly. 350. And at least it's not a bill, as they say. At least it's not a billion, as they say in the big money game. But 350 million is still enough to notice it's missing.
Stefan, just quickly, are you currently a billionaire or is this significant to you?
It is significant to me.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't have a few others that are also missing, like 50 mil, 120 mil, but this is the main one that's missing 350.
I mean, at this point, I'm paranoid and I want to check the couch cushions if there's another 100 million stuck somewhere. But no, I don't. Otherwise, I have that sort of money.
All right. Well, this is the fascinating story. This is what everyone sort of emailing us your story to our show because, as you've just heard, we've got some real history along with you of a little sloppy with the old password. What fascinates me is yours is on a hard drive. You're doing the right thing, like keeping it separate on a hard drive. You've got the hard drive. The hard drive has a certain number of guesses on it. Is it still the case that you had 10 guesses? You've had 8. You've got 2 remaining. What happens if you guess 2 more times incorrectly?
So this type of drive, it's an external flash drive, like a USB stick. I don't know if you've probably used those before.
Yep.
Because it's a special one, which is encrypted and has a hardware security feature. It kind of works like the PIN code on your ATM card. And it basically, after 10 wrong attempts, it just deletes the keys inside and you can't get them back. And so, there's only a couple of ways you can really bypass that. Like, one is to actually physically disassemble the device, and even that's not enough. You have to physically disassemble the actual chip inside, so you have to go and put it under a scanning electron microscope and do all that stuff. Or you can try to find some kind of flaw in it, like some kind of bug that they missed while developing it, but unfortunately they did a pretty good job, so it's not an easy task to do that. So that's kind of the remaining chances that I have.
Can you? I mean, at some point, I think, like you're saying, at some base molecular level, it's all ones and zeros. So is it possible to just undo it and with the world's most powerful microscope, just look and go, right, that's a one, that's a zero, and just sort of jot it down by hand, and then you might have the code of what's in there?
That's actually a pretty good description. Yeah, that is theoretically possible. It's in practice a little bit difficult. It's a little bit like Mission Impossible, but it's sort of on a micrometer scale or even nanometer scale.
Yeah.
There are a lot of security features in that ship that has sort of crisscrossing wires. It has a temperature sensor, a voltage sensor, has a UV light sensor. If you trip any of those, that deletes the keys. So
it's
specifically designed to make it very hard to attempt.
Have you considered hypnotherapy? Someone coming in to hypnotize the code out of you?
It didn't work for us, but it's a good option.
It's actually great to hear your story and kind of have that data point. Like, a lot of people have suggested hypnosis. I think the main concern I have is A, I lost this wallet 10 years ago, so a lot of time has passed. Yeah. And then number two, it was not a password I ever memorized. It was a password that I would have generated, written down, and then quickly, forgotten.
I mean, Elon Musk is carrying on a bit. I mean, one of the various things he carries on about is the Neuralink, which is the brain computer chip that can interface between the human brain and like a silicon-based computer chip. Is there a small part of you holding out hope that Elon's a lot more advanced than he's letting on with this technology, and he could tap into, you know, your brain from 10 years ago, and you could get a recording of the day where you see the password?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Elon. I think he can do a lot, but I don't know if he can do that. I think the best bet is to do the more traditional attack. Yeah, with the electron microscope.
Stefan, are there other memories that you don't really want him sifting through 10 years ago?
Smart. I just hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Stefan. And is it worth $350 million to allow someone to sift willy nilly through 10 years of memories? I say maybe not. Maybe we just keep those babies locked away. Stefan, I've got to ask one thing here. You've had 8 incorrect attempts. So at some point you must have been guessing, because you wouldn't have done 8 typos in a row. So was like, were attempts like 3 through 6 just like complete guesses? Mm. And, you know, was attempt number 8 like a complete Hail Mary? What were the guesses?
Yeah, so I basically figured that, you know, there was a tiny, tiny chance that I maybe used the password I'd used somewhere else instead of generating one. Like, your memory can be funky, you can misremember things like that. So I just tried some other common passwords that I used at the time. And it just turned out that probably my memory was correct and I used a random password.
So, well, I mean, obviously you're waiting for the 350 mil to be unlocked. What are you working on at the moment? Is it hard to work, go to
hard
work,
to focus?
Hard to focus when you've got 350 mil sitting there and you might need to even work at on any given day if you crack it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing. Like, I only got into Bitcoin because I got interested in payments and kind of how payments work, because I was working as a freelancer before. And as a freelancer, like, I worked with a lot of people around the world. I worked with a lot of clients around the world. And paying internationally was such a huge hassle and caused so many problems.
Yep.
What I've been passionate about this whole 10 years is really kind of making payments better. I started my own company in 2018 called Coil. And we're working right now on how to make payments better for content creators.
Coil,
yeah, right.
Well, I hope it's worth well over $350 million in the next few years, my friend.
I hope you look back on the 350 and you laugh and laugh and go, it turns out I didn't need it. And Coil turns out to take over the world. Is there any way in Coil, in your new company, that someone could accidentally lock up a heap of value and not be able to get it out?
Yeah, so that's the one thing I can absolutely promise. We've got a past recovery feature.
Yay! I thought that might be included. Stefan, thank you very much. We'll be following it. We'll obviously hear about it worldwide if it gets cracked or otherwise. So thanks very much for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, and I'll say something that I have not been able to say in any other interview, which is like, good luck to you as well for recovering your coin.
Thanks so much. It's nice to have a support group. We were absolutely flat out of ideas, but the hunt continues.
Should we go into some kind of conglomerate? Say if we find out,
like, let's all work. Yeah,
we
all just work half the group's money. Think about it. Email us, Stefan, if you can.
We'll do it. All right.
Cheers, buddy.
Just checking the email, Ando. Nothing in yet.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.